from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson.
From the cafes of North Beach to the cubicles of Soma, coffee has protected San Franciscans from bitter, low 60s temperatures for decades. But the 21st century brought a new era in coffee and battle and coffee battles.
No, Ken Burns' latest documentary isn't about the coffee wars of San Francisco. That was actually a comic take on Burns' famous documentary style performed by San Francisco's Killing My Lobster, now performing as part of SF Sketchfest. Coming up, we'll hear more about SF Sketchfest, and we'll feature some live comedy as well. Next on Forum, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. The 11th annual SF Sketchfest continues this weekend and all next week, a chance for San Francisco to be center stage in the world of comedy performance. Amy Poehler, John Hodgman, Fred Willard are just some of the performers who have been taking part in Sketchfest, which also features local groups like Killing My Lobster, which we will hear performed during this hour of Forum. The co-founders of SF Sketchfest are Janet Varney and Cole Stratton. Varney is a writer, producer, and actor, co-hosted the TBS series Dinner and a Movie for 7 years. Janet, good morning.
Good morning.
Joining us as well, Cole Stratton. He also acts in film and TV and hosts the podcast Pop My Culture and was once featured in a Popeye's chicken commercial. Cole, good morning.
That's what I'm hoping to be remembered for. Yeah,
thought I'd add that in. And joining us as well, as I mentioned, Killing My Lobster, the San Francisco comedy group and two-time winner of the Best of the Fringe Award and named Best Comedy Group by the San Francisco Bay Guardian. We'll hear them do various comedy bits throughout our hour. Joining us first, two members of the group, Paco Romain and Todd Brotzi. Good morning, both.
Good morning.
So first, Janet, say something about the creation of SF Sketchfest, how that came about 11 years ago now, I guess, and how you see San Francisco as being sort of front and center, which is not how we often perhaps think of it within the comedy world.
Well, I think just very quickly in terms of comedy history in San Francisco, it does have a, you know, a very rich history, and there have been some amazing comics come up and through attached to sort of the beat world. And also when we think of North Beach as being more of a comedy hub than it is now. But in terms of our personal history, we have a third partner, David Owen, with whom we were in a sketch group 12 years ago with our other sketch member, Gabriel Diani. Our group is called Totally False People. And we were very aware, actually, of Killing My Lobster. They were peers of ours and had been around longer than we had. But they had a wonderful institution that they had sort of developed for themselves and an audience. We were sort of burgeoning and trying to find our audience as we were finding our voice. And we saw an opportunity to partner with some other sketch troupes who also were sort of figuring out whether they could afford to rent theaters or, you know, do you get up with 10 people in a sketch group and do a bit on a tiny stand-up space? Probably not. So we had done a bunch of different venues and realized, you know, there really isn't a place for us to just be and for us to perform in San Francisco. And we thought maybe some other sketch groups were having the same experience. So we got together with five other groups and said, listen, we want to rent a theater. We can't afford it alone. Would you be interested in partnering with us? Let us kind of produce it as a festival, and we can share our audiences with each other and see how it goes. And we're so lucky that San Francisco responded the way it did. We got great press coverage, and we sold out every show that first year.
And so, Cole Stratton, is the purpose of SF Sketchfest to not only provide that sort of headline event, the Amy Poehlers of the world, but also to really cultivate comedy within the San Francisco Bay Area?
Yeah, totally. We've never lost sight of that, because we started as performers in a small sketch group, and we always want to, you know, kind of keep that spirit alive. So we have we do a ton of events at the Dark Room, which is in the Mission, where we have a ton of emerging sketch groups and improv groups and stand-ups come through. We also have them open for some of these big headlining shows. So kind of the two worlds meet at the same time. And it's, yeah, that spirit of cultivating new comedy is definitely very alive in the festival.
Cole Stratton and Janet Varney, two of the co-founders of SF Sketchfest. As I mentioned, joining us as well is the local comedy group Killing My Lobster. By way of introduction to their work, we're going to play just a little bit of of a video that you can find on YouTube. This will sound very reminiscent for anyone who is a public TV viewer. Let's listen.
Then summer hit, a cold, unforgiving San Francisco summer that led to more people standing in more lines for more coffee than they had in months.
My dear Sasha, it is so cold here. So cold. The ATM at Valencia and 17th is out of cash, denying us the maple bacon lattes we so crave. Many of us have been forced to purchase socks. Pray for me, my darling. See Friday at Critical Mass. Bradford.
Killing my lobster, doing as Ken Burns, doing coffee wars in San Francisco. Where did that idea come from, Paco Romaine? It's so the letter in particular is so dead on in terms of its reminiscence of them.
Yeah, well, that came out of the Holds the Mayo show, which was in 2010. One of our founders, Paul Charney, directed it. That was written by our current managing director, Miriam Smith, and Ken Groby, who we like to call Baby Ken at Killing My Lobster. They're the geniuses behind that. And then we have like a couple guys who do our video, Chris Parisi and Damon Brennan, and they're so good. And they put it all together. And yeah, the Ken Burns style is makes it very great.
It's also very San Franciscan. I mean, not only the topic, Todd Brotzi, of coffee, but the ATM isn't working in Mission, and what am I going to do if I don't have my maple bacon latte? And by the way, I'll see you at Critical Mass.
Yes, we try to find any little San Francisco or Bay Area gem we can in our comedy. Our fans tend to love that that humor.
Well, let's hear an example of your humor, and then we'll begin to talk more about all the things that are available at SF Sketchfest over the coming week. Paco, why don't you introduce what we're going to hear first? We're going to hear one of your routines, which is called Off the Grid.
Yeah, this is like you said, this is called Off the Grid, and this has Allison Johnson, Allison Page, Todd, and Cal. And these are guys who are talking about they're talking in a living room amongst each other, and you'll find out the surprise.
Dan, Melissa, I have something very important to tell you.
Is something wrong, John?
Yeah, whatever it is, we're here for you, buddy. Yeah.
No, nothing's wrong. I've decided I don't want to use my smartphone anymore.
Oh. Why is that, John?
Well, I just feel I want to get off the grid for a while. You know, my phone's been sort of dominating my life recently, what with all the text messages and emails I receive. I actually don't get any real phone calls anymore.
Text messages and emails are important parts of life, John.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I guess I just want to, you know, just come up for air, you know?
I don't believe this.
Take it easy, Dan.
Guys, come on.
You selfish jerk face. How are we supposed to contact you when you're 5 minutes late to meet us? How are we supposed to let you know when we're going to be 5 minutes late?
Dan has a point, John.
Well, I thought we could just, you know, wait the extra 5 minutes.
Are you serious, guy? Is this guy freaking serious?
You're not making a lot of sense, John. We need to be able to contact each other if we're 5 minutes late. Or if we're 5 minutes early, John.
Well, I had a thought about that. I mean, if we're going to be 5 minutes early, why is it even necessary to tell the other person about it? Why not just simply wait until they turn up at the time that you agreed upon?
I swear I'm going to hit this guy.
What?
John, what you just said is really unforgivable.
You're never on Facebook anymore. You're totally MIA on Google+.
Yes.
And now this? You're really screwing the pooch here, dude.
We need to be able to track you at all times of the day, John.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm tired of it all, you know?
Everybody's tired, John. Everybody's tired. You think you're alone in this?
John, don't do something you'll regret.
No. I've made up my mind. I am going back to using a landline.
A landline? Jesus. It's too late. He's dead to us.
I agree. If you're going back to using a landline, we'll have to disown you.
Okay, Mom.
Now get the hell up to bed. It's your first day of school tomorrow.
Okay, Dad.
Boy, he's getting big, huh?
Huge.
Killing My Lobster doing one of their routines. They'll be performing at SF Sketchfest. They're going to be at performing tomorrow night, 8 o'clock at the Eureka Theater, and again on Wednesday, February the 1st, also at the Eureka Theater, also at 8 o'clock, Killing My Lobster. We'd like to hear from you during this hour of forum as well about what you think of the comedy scene in San Francisco, what you've seen so far at SF Sketchfest, what you're looking forward to. You can join us throughout the hour at 866 833-6786, 866-733-6786. You can email us your thoughts, comments, or jokes at forum@kqed.org.
Keep it clean.
forum@kqed.org. I'm curious about the response that you get to that particular routine. Again, very San Francisco, very high tech in its orientation. How do people respond to it?
I think when we did it, it was in the reboot show. Yeah. And it always got a great laugh. I think, you know, it's San Francisco. There's so many tech workers and systems analysts and senior designers and people like that in the Bay Area that when they come to see a show that spoofs tech and gets a lot of laughs because of like landlines and words like that, that it generally goes over pretty well.
Tell me something about the trends that you're seeing, Janet, and Cole, in comedy generally. Are things going more in that direction? Is that the source of more comedy these days, sort of poking fun at what is so prevalent within contemporary culture?
Oh, for sure. I mean, the fact that there's so many YouTube stars and Twitter is as big as it is and all the social media stuff that it would feel weird to ignore it. It's the trend of where things are going. You know, like everybody seems to have a podcast or a radio show or something or their own channel online or something, or a .com, a .net, a .org, whatever. People are very much cyber alive. So I think that comedy is definitely skewing that way in a lot of ways.
We were actually just talking with someone last night with an improv group, Convoy, about this idea that references are becoming so obsolete, like certain references, like leaving a voicemail for someone on an answering machine, like in terms of being, you know, referential in pop culture and stuff. They're just like talking about apps and .orgs and Google and all of that. Like there's a whole different vocabulary in comedy now.
And how is that changing comedy, that comedy is now shared through YouTube or podcasts or whatever? How has that changed both the nature of comedy, I guess, and how it's consumed?
Well, people can see it really quickly. I mean, it's amazing how fast you can conceptualize something, write it, shoot it, put it up on the internet within a couple hours if you wanted to. And then within a couple minutes, it's out there to millions of people if you have that kind of reach, or if one person who has that kind of reach likes it and retweets it or shares it or whatever. So I think it's amazing how fast something can become huge and how quickly a backlash can develop around it too. It's like everything is so much faster now.
What kind of backlash? What do you mean?
It's just something if it's just, it gets so huge, like really quickly, that all of a sudden, even the thing that comes to mind for me is the Charlie Sheen winning thing.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody on Twitter was doing the hashtag winning for like 3 days. And then all of a sudden it was like, stop with the hashtag winning.
Yeah.
So it's weird how fast that all happens now.
I completely agree.
Paco Rene.
Like you can have a video on YouTube that's a big success, 10,000 views in an hour. But after a day, if it gets too many views, then all it is negative comments. And YouTube is like a hater's paradise for the most part. You know, there's if a video gets too big, then there's a lot of negative comments that will come up. But you're absolutely right. I mean, it can be in a matter of an hour that you can become a star on the internet.
Can you make a living, though, that way? Do you all make a living as comics, or do you all have day jobs that pay the light bill?
I think we're all I make my living as a comic, not a good living. and I put parentheses around good or asterisks around good, but
I'm curious, Cole.
Yeah, I mean, I'm between the festival and whatever acting work I get and stuff, yeah. But there's not a lot of money attached to it. It's hard to get like advertisers to attach to that kind of thing. But people do. There are people that are literally like their job is a YouTube star. They're a YouTube personality. They're just up there. They introduce clip shows and stuff like that. And they have millions of views and they get sponsorship money. And they literally make a ton of cash doing that.
Jennifer Arnie.
Well, I think that sort of brings up the interesting question of if you can come up with 2 minutes of a funny bit and it happens and you put it out there and somebody happens to pick up on it. There are people who get like television deals out of one YouTube clip. And I think the proof is in the pudding. I mean, for some people that break happens and it develops into a real success because there's a lot of sort of meat behind the material that got seen. But then there are other people that, you know, you sort of say, oh, this was one little cute thing about a funny kitten, you know, and how does that develop into a TV series? And maybe the answer is it doesn't. So there's also a question of like how much of that is going to sustain itself versus people who are really taking the time to craft and to do live shows as well. And that's one of the things I'm happy about is that all of this stuff happening out there in the media hasn't prevented us from being able to put on live shows that people still want to come to. It's not replacing, you know, YouTube isn't replacing the need to come and see and laugh in an audience, as I'm sure KML has also experienced.
Absolutely. Right.
Tell us something about Janitor Cole, about what's still ahead. About half of SF Sketchfest is complete. You have another half to go. What is coming up, and what's been the interest so far in terms of the kind of audience demand there is for these kinds of performances?
Gosh, there's tons still to go. I think we have like 106 shows.
We could do a Ken Burns sketch about Sketchfest. Yes. Is still happening. Like, it's day 18.
We really could.
Dehydration has set in.
This is like the middle weekend.
Paul F. Tompkins is
dead now. Yeah. Paul F. Tompkins actually went on vocal rest for the 7 shows he did for us the first weekend. There's a lot of great stuff coming up. Drew Carey's coming into town this weekend, doing his Improvaganza show for 2 nights. He's also the guest on my Pop My Culture podcast tomorrow at the Eureka, which is really exciting.
Let's just review a couple of these. So Drew Carey, Improvaganza, that's tonight, I believe, at 8 o'clock, and also on Saturday at Marines Memorial.
Marines Memorial, yeah.
Okay.
And then my podcast is tomorrow at 1 o'clock at the Eureka Theater, and there's still some tickets for that, so I hope you guys will come out to that. Gosh, there's so many great things. Rick Overton has an awesome one-man show, which Killing My Lobster is opening for tonight, or Saturday night. Golly, Janet.
I can't believe that just drew a golly out of you. That might be the first time I've ever
really
heard
sweet.
You say
that. Gosh,
yucks. Well, we're really excited to see Set List tonight as well, which is, it's sort of an interesting hybrid. You know, a lot of stand-up comedians are wildly intimidated by improvisers because they can't imagine the idea of making something up on the spot. And meanwhile, improvisers are all saying, you know, how do you get up there just as yourself alone and do stand-up material? What if you bomb? This is a combination of both, where stand-up comedians are given a set list, so to speak, of material that they need to invent on the spot at the show. So I find both of those things intimidating, even though I do improv, and I can't wait to see what the subject matter ends up being and how these guys take that on.
Tell me something else about that I was intrigued with that's going on tomorrow, I think, at the Castro, which is Fred Willard and Michael Hitchcock from the great Christopher Guest film Best in Show. What are they going to be doing, and what's involved with that?
That's actually Saturday, February 4th.
Oh, sorry.
But yeah, we're going to be screening Best in Show. And then afterwards, they'll be doing a Q&A conversation, which actually I will be moderating. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. That's one of my favorite all-time movies. And we did something similar a couple years ago with Waiting for Guffman with Fred. And I interviewed him at that, too. So I'm excited to do this.
And then he's also participating, along with Florence Henderson, among others, in something called Celebrity Autobiography on February 3rd and 4th, again at Marines Memorial. Describe that.
Well, we've had that show for a couple of years now. This is, I think, its third year.
Yeah, I think so.
And the cast is always that we bring in is always kind of extraordinary. This year, I think, stands above and beyond. Having the mom from the Brady Bunch. We also have Luke Perry participating.
That's
and
so
to have
weird.
Fred Willard. Lorraine Newman, who is a dear friend of the festival. And Fred, actually, I'll quickly say Celebrity Autobiography is it's real celebrity autobiographies that are being read by other celebrities. They don't change a single word. It's all authentic. It's all just straight off the page. But it is pretty funny when you actually hear it out of context and you hear someone funny doing sort of their rendition of it. And they do an amazing thing where sometimes there are scenes where you're hearing simultaneously from like 3 different celebrities' autobiographies at one time about events that have happened to all 3 of those people. And so you get their take. Oh, it's just amazing.
That's on, again, February 3rd and 4th, 8 o'clock at Marines Memorial. Why don't we hear one more routine from Killing My Lobster? We have about 5 minutes until we go to our next break. So something that would be a couple minutes. Do you want to do Upgrade, Seinfeld? Sure. What's next on your list?
Let's do Seinfeld. And right. I don't think this needs much of an introduction. If you were lost,
the twist.
This is
Seinfeld
21st century. Yeah.
So this is the return of Seinfeld and Elaine, right?
Yes.
Yes. Exactly.
2012.
Seinfeld 2012.
Elaine, what's up?
Get this. Putty broke up with me.
Putty broke up with you?
Yeah, he broke up with me, Jerry.
What happened?
Get this. He sent me a text message.
He sent you what text message?
A text message.
Wow, you got a breakup text?
I got a breakup text. What am I gonna do, Jerry?
Well, get this. I just broke up with Terry Hatcher.
What? You broke up with Terry Hatcher? Why, Jerry?
She doesn't respond to emails.
She doesn't respond to emails.
No, how hard is it? You click reply and type a couple of words and you click send. It's not like you have to involve the post office.
Jerry, sometimes people just don't respond to emails.
Who doesn't respond to emails?
I don't. I forget.
You forget?
Yeah, it skips my mind.
It skips your mind.
It skips my mind.
You receive an email, responding to it just skips your mind.
It skips my mind, Jerry.
Well, get this. Now, I'm seeing Courtney Cox, but she's a serial blogger.
What's a serial blogger?
I don't know. I'm out of ideas at this point.
I gotta go.
What, you're going?
Yeah, I gotta go, Jerry.
Oh, so you don't respond to pokes now? What was that?
What?
She just took a photo of me with her phone.
With a phone?
She took a photo of me with her phone, Jerry. Now it's out there. People will be downloading it and uploading it and tagging it and photoshopping it. Oh, forget it.
What's up?
I'll tell you what's up. You don't like my status updates anymore?
I like your status updates.
I post a status update on Facebook the other day, and nobody likes it. Do people not like me?
I really couldn't tell you.
I am just fundamentally unlikable. That's it. Somebody defriended me the other day.
Wait, somebody defriended you?
Eric from middle school.
Who defriends people?
Eric from middle school, Jerry!
While we're on the subject of friendship, you don't respond to Evite invitations.
What?
I send you an Evite invitation to my stand-up show, and you don't RSVP?
You want an RSVP now?
That's the whole point of sending an Evite invitation!
All right, I'll respond maybe. How about that?
Maybe. So you might attend.
I might attend, Jerry.
Thank you. That's all I want to know.
Hey, let me borrow your iPhone.
My iPhone?
Yeah, I need your iPhone, Jerry.
All right, here. What? You're going?
There's no reception in here, Jerry. You need to switch to Verizon.
Verizon?
Verizon, Jerry.
Verizon?
Verizon!
Verizon.
And scene.
Killing My Lobster again. They'll be performing Saturday, tomorrow, January the 28th, 8 o'clock at the Eureka Theater. Wednesday, February the 1st, also at the Eureka at 8 o'clock. I don't know if that makes me eager or not for the return of Seinfeld in 2012, but nicely done. How much do you that's all scripted out. Do you improvise at all off of that based on sort of what's going on a particular night?
Podcast? Yeah, we do. Absolutely. We after, you know, a few weeks of rehearsal with the script, once we're on stage and we're filling the audience and having a good time, we definitely will improv some lines and add a couple beats and a joke here or there.
And as part of what's intriguing, I guess, or attractive about SF Sketchfest is that you can see sort of anything from improvisation to stand-up to scripted material to Drew Carey to whatever. I mean, it's sort of like it's comedy in all its forms.
Yeah, it's definitely a comedy hodgepodge. When we initially started out, it was just a sketch fest. It was literally just sketch comedy. And then we realized that's really specific and niche. So we just opened it up to all things funny.
And define sketch for those who aren't necessarily sure what that term means.
It's kind of what you just heard. It's a scripted out kind of scene or vignette or skits, as you might call it. Saturday Night Live, Monty Python, Kids in the Hall, that kind of style of comedy.
And again, they'll be performing, Killing My Lobster will be performing this Saturday and again next Wednesday. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll hear more from Killing My Lobster and also talk more about some of the other routines and acts that will be performed as part of SF Sketchfest in the coming week. You can join us at 866-733-6786. Email us at forum@kqed.org. What are you looking forward to in SF Sketchfest? What have you heard so far? What is it about comedy that you'd like to see done more of in San Francisco? How do you rate the comedy scene in San Francisco? We'd like to hear your thoughts, jokes, comments, questions at 866-733-6786. Email us at forum@kqed.org. You can go to our Facebook page or our website and add your comments there. This is Forum on KQED. I'm Dave Iverson. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Dave Iverson. Our topic this hour, SF Sketchfest, which is going on all through the coming week. We'd like to hear your thoughts as well on comedy, if you have a particular group that you're looking forward to seeing, or if you'd like to comment on the comedy scene here in San Francisco. Please join us at 866-733-6786. You can email us at forum@kqed.org. We'll hear more from Killing My Lobster, the San Francisco group that's been performing now for, 15 years? Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, 15 years.
And how did you all get together? How did that start to come about?
Go ahead.
Well, it was formed by a group of Brown graduates that ended up in San Francisco, all ended up just coincidentally here together. And They just decided, I believe it was Valentine's Day around, help me with my math here. Thank
97.
You. And they just said, you know, we want to keep doing what we were doing in school. And they just rented a venue and put together a show. And that was the beginning of the organization.
So is there any Ivy League humor, jokes in what you do?
Well, there's definitely sort of cerebral humor. We try to run the gamut of types of humor from current topical stuff to fart jokes. So we can kind of do it all.
But it's topical fart jokes.
Right. It is our 15th year as a nonprofit organization. And we were born in the mission. We're still in the mission. And this year, our main goal is to find a permanent home here, a theater space.
How difficult is that? And what sort of receptivity is there, Janet Varney, for people being able to find a space that they can continue to do their work in here in San Francisco?
Well, I have to say, I think Killing My Lobster might be able to speak better to that than I. But it's definitely, I mean, I'm surprised you guys don't have that at this point. And I don't mean that as an insult, but like it's so earned and deserved. What have you discovered? Has that been difficult? Have you been looking for a while? And
yeah, it has been difficult. Part of it's just rent prices. I mean, it's so expensive to rent a mid-sized theater in San Francisco. I mean, the dark room, like you mentioned, is 50 seats, but then there's like the Zeum, which is 199. Like we want the nice mid-sized theater, 89 seats, 100 seats, and it's so expensive to build and or to rent. We thought we had our hands on one, but it slipped through our fingers. But we're definitely still looking. That is one of our main goals for 2012 is to get a permanent theater space.
Where is comedy performed now? Is that something that's changing? Is it less in clubs, more in bars? What's the sort of current state of performance?
It's kind of all over the place. Yeah. I mean, the comedy club model definitely still works. Cobbs and Punchline do fantastic, and we do a lot of shows there. I find that people are just kind of converting alternative spaces. They're just kind of mocking things up. And I find a lot of people just are able to, you know, because they have shows on the internet or whatever, they just make little theater spaces in their garage, so to speak, and then broadcast out of that. Yeah. I think they're just kind of popping up all over the place.
Let's mention a couple of other things that are coming up as part of SF Sketchfest. One of them, Janet, that I'm sure a lot of people are looking forward to is your sort of closing tribute to Robert Altman and the iconic film MASH. Describe what's going to be happening with that.
Well, we're so excited to have that because not only are we screening the film, but we have some extraordinary special guests, including Elliot Gould and Sally Kellerman and Robert Altman's wife, Catherine Altman. So I just think it's going to be amazing to hear a little bit from them about what the experience of making the film was like, but also not just about MASH, but about Robert Altman on the whole being, I think we can all acknowledge, an absolute cinematic genius. Mm. And for us, you know, it's a comedy, but MASH is representative to us of this opportunity we've kind of created for ourselves to celebrate not just really exactly what you would think to as sort of a Saturday Night Live Monty Python go-to for comedy at a comedy festival, but also some things that have, dare I say, some pathos, like, you know, things that actually are not just hilarity, but also have a message, and especially a film like that, which was so influential and continues to be.
So the film will be screened at the Castro Theater, 5:00, and then a discussion with Elliot Gould and Sally Kellerman.
Yeah, a discussion with those guys. Mm-hmm.
February the 5th, 5:00 at the Castro Theater. Who are some of your comic heroes? Two parts to this, I guess. Comic heroes, but also who should we be all keeping an eye on? Are there up-and-coming people within the Bay Area or who will be participating in SF Sketchfest who people will soon know about if they haven't known about them already?
Well, I think Reggie Watts is definitely – I mean, he is – you know, if you're a comedian, you probably or have already heard of seen Reggie Watts. He's doing what are you guys calling it?
The Regency.
The Regency. It's brilliant, by the way, that time. But Reggie Watts is an amazing talent, and people are going to know his name very soon, I would imagine.
And what makes him distinctive, and also when will he be performing as part of Sketchfest?
Well, he's just like completely multi-talented on so many levels. He's an amazing, brilliant musician. He's a brilliant stand-up comic. He merges the two. He's incredibly odd, but in the best possible way. So what he does is really mind-blowing to see him live. He uses all sorts of effects machines and stuff that he does live and does all this stuff vocally. He vocally layers stuff, and it's just incredible. And he's doing this whole series of shows kind of showcasing all his different facets. So the first show is Just the Music, we're calling it, which is just him doing some music. The next one is a comedy show with Garfunkel and Oates, also on the bill. He's doing a collaboration with Robert Glasper, an amazing jazz musician. It'll be all improvised jazz set. And then he's doing a live improvised scoring to a silent film at the Roxy Theater.
So rather than, since there's so many of those, if people want to get a full list of not only his performances but others, best to go to what
website? SFSketchfest.com. And you better act fast on the Reggie stuff because it's almost all sold out with four different shows.
What's demand been like overall for performance this year?
It's been wonderful. I think, you know, as our festival grows and we keep adding shows, and obviously we're six weeks long, really? We're not 6 weeks. We're 3 weeks long as it stands. And so every year when we're programming, you know, sometimes we have years where we put a bunch of asks, if you will, out there, and just schedule being what it is for people, because Sundance is around the same time. There are some award shows that we sort of compete, quote unquote, against. Sometimes it's harder for us to get those initial yeses. And then some years, a lot of stuff kind of comes together all at once. And we had we sort of had that luxury this year, which is a luxurious problem of, oh my gosh, we have so many amazing shows. I hope San Francisco can kind of sustain the weight of all of this comedy that we're you know, giving them at once. But they really have. They've come out in droves.
Is San Francisco unusual to have this Sketch Fest, or are there similar events that take place at other major cities?
There's definitely other Sketch Fest and other comedy festivals out there. I think we're one of the few that have the scope that we do. I don't think we're definitely the longest. I think we're the equivalent of like three festivals in a lot of ways, because we go three full weekends with stuff in between as well.
And does Killing My Lobster travel, or are you here? You're not a traveling show?
No, we used to. I mean, we've been to the Vancouver. We've gone to other cities to perform, and we're certainly we've been to Chicago. We're looking to go to other cities, but generally we just stay in San Francisco.
Let's take a call, and then we'll hear another performance from Killing My Lobster. Ryan is up from San Francisco. Ryan, go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was just curious. I've had the same problems looking for trying to find kind of a performance space in San Francisco. I was curious if they had checked into the old Red Vic space since the Red Vic left, and I was just curious if that was so kind of prohibitively expensive, or if that was something they hadn't looked into.
Ryan, thanks. That's the small theater space on the Hate,
in the
right?
Hate, yeah. No, as a matter of fact, and I don't know if this is information I'm not supposed to reveal, but I know it. So the Alembic Bar, which is next to it, I believe is moving into that space. So it's going to be a eccentric whiskey place soon. That serves delightful appetizers.
San Francisco.
Yeah.
Eccentric whiskey.
Yes.
Well, speaking of San Francisco and things that are San Franciscan, why don't we hear another performance piece from Killing My Lobster. You're going to do Upgrades, is that right?
Yeah.
All right. Set that up for us, if you would.
Yeah, Upgrades takes place in a your usual tech store, and a customer rushes in, and he's very, very excited. Can I help you, sir?
Yes, I know exactly what I want. The new SJ5.
Oh, great choice, sir. That's the absolute top line model.
Yeah, well, I've been doing a lot of research. So.
Excellent, excellent. Let me have your credit card and I can get you on your way.
Sure, here you go.
Okay, thank you. And by the way, the SJ5 is going to set you back about 600 clams.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, let me just swipe your card here. Doesn't seem to be taking.
Technology, huh?
Yeah, tell me about it. Let me try it again. Yep, just processing. Huh. Diners Club. I didn't know that was still a thing.
Yeah, still a thing. Accepted in over 12 states.
Oh, you must be proud. Oh, wait, here we go. And there is your SJ5.
Fantastic. Thanks a lot.
Sure. Oh, would you like to upgrade to the SJ6?
What? Why didn't you tell me about this before?
It just came out.
When?
Now.
Today?
No, literally about 10 seconds ago. Has double the processing speed of the SJ5, though.
Oh, man.
It's really top of the line.
How much processing power does the SJ6 have again?
How does most ever known to man strike you?
All right, I'll take it. Just exchange my SJ5.
I'm sorry, all sales are final.
What?
But we do buy used computers if you're interested.
But I just bought this.
Yeah, let me check this out. The old SJ5. Huh? I haven't seen one of these in a while. Oh, well, it is in mint condition. I can give you $50 for it.
It's still in the box.
I know, but as soon as you touched it, it became obsolete.
But it's still usable, isn't it?
I wouldn't use it, but my daughter is in preschool. She could probably use it.
All right, well, fine. Just give me $50 for the SJ-5 and I'll take the SJ-6.
Excellent choice, sir.
You guys better not come out with the SJ-7 or something after this transaction
SJ-7. Of course not. That would be inhumane. However, the SJ-6.5 just came out if you want to upgrade to that model.
What? No, you know what? Forget it. I'm going to stick with my SJ-6. This will satisfy my needs. I don't need your SJ-6.5.
Okay, very good. Oh, but did I mention the 6.5 comes with a monkey?
Oh, come on!
So you don't want the monkey?
Of course I want a monkey. Who doesn't want a monkey?
So you'll take the SJ-6.5.
Yes, I'll take it. Just give me my monkey and my computer.
Okay. Come on out, monkey. Make sure to scratch him behind the ear. He will tear your hands off, sir.
Okay. All right. Now I'm going to walk out of here with my computer and my monkey. And I don't want to hear anything about any more 7.5s or 8s or 8.5s or nothing.
Of course. Of course. Your computer is absolutely the top line computer ever made.
Okay. Good.
However, we can upgrade your monkey.
Oh, jeez. To what?
A robot monkey.
Ooh.
And see.
Killing My Lobster again. They'll be performing tomorrow night, Saturday, at 8 o'clock at Eureka Theater, Wednesday, February the 1st, at 8 o'clock. I have an email that sort of connects up in some ways with this that just came in that said, I heard KML saying the comedy is getting more topical via tech inclination. And while, yes, that's true and reference points have been updated, it seems that the comedy that's most respected by comedy enthusiasts is more than just being topically relevant. In fact, more than ever, it's people like Patton Oswalt, Always Sunny, Reggie Watts, Tina Fey, that are more absurdist and alternative.
It's a very topical email. Well, that is true. I mean, I think it's a big circus tent of comedy. I mean, there's room for all of that. It depends. I mean, funny means different things to different people, as our KML logo says. But it's true. I mean, I personally love the absurdist kind of humor, but there are people who do, you know, everything from the blue collar comedy tour to like he was saying, Reggie Watts. I mean, that's two different sides of the spectrum. But, it, you know, it depends on your taste, I would imagine.
What about the state of political humor these days? The other day, I asked a friend of mine if they were going to watch the State of the Union, and he said, no, but I can't wait for The Daily Show. So how much of that plays into to Sketchfest? What is the influence, if at all, of both Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert on the work that either any of you do or that will be seen during SF Sketchfest?
Well, there's definitely, I mean, right now with everything that's going on with the debates that seem to be happening about every 15 seconds, there's a lot going on, especially that if you just go on Twitter, like everybody live tweets them like crazy. And there's definitely a lot of political stuff happening right now. Will Durst does our festival every year.
He's great.
He's one of the most amazing political comedians you'll ever see. So he's always involved. But I don't think politics play too much of an actual like show thrust in our festival, but they definitely come up on almost every single show. You'll see, especially like on the podcast and stuff like that, you'll see people that riff on that quite a bit.
People like their political humor. I mean, obviously from The Daily Show's success and Stephen Colbert, I mean, Stephen Colbert could probably run and win the presidency.
He is running.
I mean, it's incredible. His ability to satirize and his performance arts ability is unbelievable. But people love political humor, especially if they agree with the comedian. Sometimes political comedians can be maybe too liberal for others. But if you agree with that person and it's making sense and it's funny, then you struck gold.
Well, I think it's also representative of kind of what our culture feels about the media and news in general now. It's to your point, Dave, it seems like there are so many people who get their news from The Daily Show and The Colbert Report. And while that can be frowned upon by those who, you know, believe that you should absolutely get your news from hard news sources, I think there's a real distrust in a lot of, especially in a lot of youth, about what, how real and how unbiased our news is anyway. So maybe there's a sense of, listen, I'm probably going to get a slant anyway, so I might as well enjoy it and have a laugh and you know, see the face of Jon Stewart, whom I somehow trust more than yeah. than regular media news outlets. It's just an interesting phenomenon.
Well, and Newt Gingrich's rise, and perhaps now that won't last, in popularity came about by slamming the news media at the recent debate in South Carolina. So there seems to be a lot of that. Anything else about the Sketchfest coming up that we should note that we haven't noted so far, Janet or Cole, about upcoming performances that are coming up this particular weekend that you'd like to draw our attention to?
There's still so many.
There's a really cool show. Well, this is the first time we've had Kevin Smith at the festival, which is great. He's doing a Smodcast at Cobb's on Sunday night at 8. We have a show coming up next Friday, the 3rd, which is kind of a big deal for us. It's a theme park improv show, which we do every year, but the cast slightly changes. And it's always a thrill to work with these people. Rachel Dratch is sitting in for Saturday Night Live. Oh, which
you
is
mentioned
great.
Michael Hitchcock earlier. He'll be doing Best in Show the day after, but he's doing our improv show that night.
Is Saturday Night Live still a real force within the comedy world?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is, yeah.
People
still
watch
it. I mean, it has. It sort of goes through its waves of popularity as the years go by, and there are certain casts that are more beloved to the public than others, but there are also stars that kind of pop from certain eras. But I think it definitely still – people still talk about it, and I think that's another example of a lot of people watch it, and then a lot of people don't watch it, but they'll watch clips online like the next day, so they won't stay up and watch it like they used to, but they'll still watch the short films or they'll watch bits and pieces.
Well, you were mentioning improvisational, so let's try doing something improvisational here before. Rather than doing your whole routine of the over poster, let's just sort of one of you take that on, that role, and I'll talk here with Janet for a moment, and some of you someone take on the role of being the over poster. So, tell me something about how you got started in being in comedy, Janet.
Well, I was dragged into it by these guys, Dave and Cole and Gabe, that I was in Totally False People with. And I had studied theater, but I hadn't really done any comedy. And a friend of mine said, I want to put together an improv or a sketch troupe. And I said, I don't write and I've never done improv. I don't know what you're talking about. And he was like, yeah, but we need girls and you're funny.
I had eggs for breakfast.
You should do that. So I said, okay, and we kind of started.
I wish my boyfriend loved me.
Performing together.
And so as we're trying to have this conversation, it becomes difficult sometimes because you never know.
I disagree with politics.
All right, that's our attempt at doing improvisational humor here.
Yes,
but thank you.
You're welcome.
Where do you find those things? Where did the inspiration for the over poster come from? Obviously, making fun of the fact that someone is always popping in when you're trying to have a serious conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've all, you know, I spend 18 hours a day on Facebook. And so, you know, I'm one of those people I think that probably is one of the over posters. But we all have, there's the people who post pictures of their food. Which I always think is really strange. I mean, there's people who post a lot about information you could really care less about. Like, my dog just got wet in a puddle. You know, hashtag dog wet mine puddle. like I'm going to Burger King tomorrow. Who's with me? You know, and something about Monsanto and how much they suck. And oh wait, can I say that? Yeah, Monsanto. So I mean, it's just like we've all been there. I mean, you just take a slice of regular life that just pisses you off, and you rant about it, and then you write a sketch about it, and everyone likes it.
There was a thing about that they started called "Eat It, Don't Tweet It."
Ah. Nice.
Where people were tweeting pictures of their food.
Yeah, what is that?
I don't know.
Is that cave? Does it go back to caveman time where people are like, "Look, Gorg,
exactly.
I have a pigeon."
I don't know. It's
what are people drawing from these days that allows you to be an improvisational comic? Is that just a gift that you have to be able to take something and be able to do that? I mean, what are the qualities, I guess, that make someone have that particular skill?
I think it's the ability to listen and just observe things and comment on it. I mean, the best improvisers are ones that make you look good when you're on stage with them, because they listen to you and then they basically throw you a ball that you can hit. They listen and then they help set you up for stuff. So yeah, I think it's just being able to take things in, listen and reply.
Having said that, I do think that it's a real muscle that you should be trained, and you should have. You should be in a classroom environment and kind of find out what the set of rules are, even if you're going to eventually break them. It's not necessarily something that anybody should just be able to go up on stage and do. It's, you know, there's team building that has to happen in that sense. And you really have to trust your own voice. And I think you have to exercise that.
A couple of emailed in questions. Karen writes in, I have a 13-year-old grandson who loves comedy and does hysterical little sketches that have me falling off my seat. What show would be best for him? Is there a series I can take a child to?
13? Is that what?
Did you say 13?
Sounds like a hard question to answer,
yeah,
Karen.
I'm trying Well, you know, because some of it, you know, comedy's comedy, so yeah. Some of it's pretty blue.
There is my puppet show at 16th and Mission. I do at noon.
That seems like a good idea. You know, that's not part of the festival, Paco.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't know.
All right. Sorry, Karen. We'll try to find out. If we can, we'll help you with a good show for your 13-year-old grandson.
Yeah, Karen, email us at info@sfsketchfest.com. I'm not kidding. We'll absolutely look through this roster and figure out a good fit.
Here's one person who writes in, congrats. Thanks for creating it. Any chance that you could sprinkle some performances down in the South Bay in the future? Or are you always going to be just San Francisco? Cole?
We thought about expanding some. We're actually in Oakland for the first time this year doing some stuff. And we've done stuff in Marin before. So we're always looking to kind of branch out a little bit and try to get to the different bays.
All right. You've been listening to members of both Killing My Lobster and also two of the co-founders of SF Sketchfest, Janet Varney and Skoll Stratton, during this hour of Forum. As you know, this is a fundraising period for KQED Public Radio. For more information on how to support KQED, go to kqed.org. I'm Dave Iverson. Continuing now for the next few moments, let's hear one more routine from Killing My Lobster. You guys want to do either Arbor Days or upgrade? Well, we did upgrades. What would you like to do
Arbor
next?
Day. Arbor Day. It's a little long. Is that?
We can do. Can you do kind of an edited version? Maybe a 3-minute version. Is that possible? I'll time you. I'll give you time cues.
That's the entire.
It'll be improvisational.
Yeah, okay, that'll be the entire. All right. So this is a typical family enjoying a typical holiday at home.
Tammy, happy Arbor Day.
Happy Arbor Day, Mom.
Oh, gosh, I can't believe we haven't seen you since last Arbor Day.
Mom, every Arbor Day you say the same thing.
Oh, leave her alone, Sally. It's Arbor Day.
How was your flight? Were the airports busy due to the Arbor Day rush?
Mom.
I was only asking.
All right, can you two please stop fighting? It's Arbor Day.
Dad's right. It's Arbor Day.
Okay, I got you this gift.
Oh.
Happy Arbor Day.
What is this?
Oh, don't shake it, Mom. It's an iPad 2.
Oh, Jesus, Sally.
Oh, shut up, Jack. Leave me alone. It's Arbor Day.
Dad!
What's everybody fighting about? Don't you know it's Arbor Day?
Oh, Fred, it's so great to see you. We haven't seen you since last Arbor Day, and you only live 2 towns away.
Oh, leave him alone, Sally. Jesus. You're late, Fred. Your sister Tammy flew here all the way from Russia, and she's here before you.
Well, happy Arbor Day to you too, Dad. Jesus.
Leave him alone, Jack. How is traffic, Fred? Is it crazy out there?
Totally nuts. Every year the Arbor Day traffic gets worse, but I like my new Lexus. Thanks, Dad.
Happy Arbor Day, son.
You got him a Lexus? I thought he wasn't allowed to drive after what happened last Arbor Day.
Why are you bringing that up?
Tammy.
It's Arbor Day, Tammy. Jesus.
Who's coming to dinner this year?
Your Auntie Mary, Cousin Pat, and Grandpa George.
Grandpa George, after what he did 2 Arbor Days ago?
Oh, now why would you bring that up?
Jesus.
It's Arbor Day, Jesus.
Jesus, okay, are we having turkey as usual?
Of course we're having turkey. Why wouldn't we be having turkey?
It's Arbor Day. We always have turkey.
I didn't fly all the way here from Russia to not have turkey on Arbor Day.
Tammy, why are you bringing up Russia again?
I'll talk about Russia if I want. It's Arbor Day.
Please, you too. It's Arbor Day.
Let's watch the game, huh?
Great idea. I love the Arbor Day game.
Oh, no. Is the game going to be on for hours now?
What's wrong with that? It's Arbor Day.
It's so loud. Wouldn't it be nice to just sit and talk? I mean, it is Arbor Day.
Remember the last time we just sat and talked on Arbor Day?
How can we forget? You still gay, Fred?
Of course I'm still gay, Dad. Jesus.
I still don't know why you had to tell us that on Arbor Day.
Oh, Jack, let's not talk about Fred revealing he was gay on Arbor Day. It's Arbor Day. Well, I really wish you'd get married and have kids, Tammy.
I am married. I do have kids. Jesus.
Sally, can we not talk about Tammy's Russian kids on Arbor Day? Jesus.
How's your cancer, Dad?
Jesus, it's Arbor Day. Can't we have one day a year when we're not talking about Dad's cancer?
It's okay. Arbor
Day. I am so tired of your attitude.
Hey, on Arbor. I see Grandpa George coming up the driveway.
Great. Why don't we go plant some trees?
Yes.
I love Arbor Day.
And that will be part one of the ones you'll perform this
yes.
Saturday?
Yeah.
All right. That'll again be at Saturday tomorrow, 8 o'clock at the Eureka, Wednesday, February 1st at 8 o'clock also at the Eureka. Killing My Lobster, one of the local groups featured as this part of this year's SF Sketchfest. Are you going to go on and on? Will there be a 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th SF Sketchfest?
I think so. This is year 11. Our festival's a preteen now. It'll be getting its braces off soon. I see this just going and going and going.
And where would you like to see it go and go? How would it? How do you hope it will grow and change and evolve in the future?
I think that's a question that we ask ourselves all the time because I think a little bit like Killing My Lobster, we have so many things that we're excited about and so many different avenues that we feel like we could pursue and go down, and that may be expanding to, you know, a larger part of the Bay Area or beyond, or being able to do production, stuff like that. It's just a question of what's possible and then what you sort of set your sights on, because we get so excited about so many different things. It's you get pulled in a lot of different directions.
And do you see San Francisco now as becoming a kind of comedy destination, Cole?
For sure. Yeah, the audiences here are amazing. They are so receptive and responsive and supportive, and they come out. And yeah, I mean, that's one thing that our performers tell us every single year is how fantastic the audience is here and how much they love to perform here.
And has that been true for local groups around the year? I mean, not just during SF Sketchfest, but that you have that kind of support here?
Absolutely. Killing My Lobster, we have a lot of great fans and dedicated people who come see our shows. I think comedy in general in the Bay Area is getting a huge upswing. It's a great area to be involved in. I have my own show called the Romaine Event Comedy Show. And it's like I've been getting great audiences. It's a showcase show where I have sketch and improv and comedy films. And for like the last year and a half, the audiences have been getting bigger, and they're really, really receptive to the comedy.
And again, to find out more about the remaining schedule for SF Sketchfest, which will go on for 47 more days, right? Is that right? Go to what website again, Janet?
SFSketchfest.com.
All right. Thanks all very much for being part of our program today. Forum is produced by Kevin Guillory and Judy Campbell. Dan Zoll is our senior editor. Danny Bringer, our engineer. And Raul Ramirez is our executive producer. I'm Dave Iverson, and this is Forum on KQED.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.